Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
As we head off to the River Creek Resort and Casino Hotline, we welcome back to the show the president and general manager of the Saskatoon Blades in the Western Hockey League as the WHL playoffs get rolling. We welcome back Colin Priestner. Hello, Colin. How you doing?
Great, Bob. How are you?
Good. I was just thinking, what year did you come with Dan Tenser to the NHL draft where you were a, what would we call you? A reporter?
I was a volunteer reporter. I think I remember interviewing, Tenser told me to get out with the microphone and interview Griffin Reinhardt after he got picked, and he had said that the Islanders were the only team in the NHL who did not interview him. I remember that was a very interesting factoid.
Yeah, that was in 2012. Scott Housen and Elliot Friedman wrote about him in 32 Thoughts today. His contract's up with the American Hockey League. But Scott Housen was GM of Columbus at that time. And the Islanders offered Scott every pick in the draft.
Every pick, yes. I remember that.
To flip two spots in the draft. Well, maybe that was a precursor of things to come. Shows you what I know. I thought Griffin Wright, Craig Button, who we both respect, thought the Oilers should consider moving the third pick in 2014 for Griffin Reinhardt. On the show, he said this. He said that. All right. Speaking of Dan Tenser, we'll get to the Blade stuff and your team and Connor Bedard and all that. How's Dan doing?
Dan's doing a lot better, you know, for fans who didn't know. You know, Dan obviously used to work on the Ched and became friends with him in university at U of A, and he's now our head scout with the Blades for the last 9 years, and he was involved in a terrible car accident last week on the QE2 just outside of Innisfail, and two cars were totaled after Dan's car hit ice, and thank God both passengers, both himself and the other driver, were miraculously okay. Both obviously, Dan is obviously shaken up, and you know, he's got a lot of bumps and bruises on him, but for the most part, he's getting better every day, and he's actually coming tonight. He's flying out tonight to watch the playoffs for us when we play the Pats tonight, so it'll be great to see him, and we're all just really fortunate that he's okay. And we all spend our winters driving on these brutal roads all over Western Canada to watch these young players, and it doesn't happen as much as you'd think it would, but when it does happen, it's close to home.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now, how long have you guys had the Blades for?
Sorry, you cut out there for one sec, Bob. What'd you say?
I said, Colin, how long have you guys had the Saskatoon Blades for now? About 10 years?
We took over right after the Memorial Cup. We got the team in September of 2013. And the Memorial Cup, I think, was in May of 13. So we kind of were in that kind of rebuild stage, trying to rebuild the team after the Memorial Cup when we first got there for the first 4 or 5 years. And I became the GM after Bob Woods, who was our coach GM. He went back to the NHL, and I took over the hockey operations about 6 years ago.
Okay. And you guys have had a very good season this year?
Yeah. We hit 101 points, which was great. We'd hit 98 points right before the year before COVID with in Kirby Doc's draft year, and that was where we wanted to get to that year, and just came 2 points short. So it was fun to hit it last weekend, and I think we've got we finished second in the conference, but with the divisional seeding, we're the third seed. Should we advance past the first round, we would get the second seed. In the second round, it would reseed. But I had a great year, really consistent. Excellent team from top to bottom. We just had really good depth, really good goaltending with two guys, you know, basically playing every other night, and a great decor that really plays a modern puck-moving style. So I think we're built really well for the playoffs, but when you've got Bedard on the other side of the ice, as you've seen, anything can happen. So it's a fun series to put to the test. We knew this was coming probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, and we had a chance to play them twice over the last 2 weeks, so got a little taste of it, but I'm sure the intensity will be a lot higher tonight.
All right, we'll get to Bedard in a second. This show is still called Oilers Now. I got to ask you about Jake Chiasson. You made the deal with Brandon to get him. He's got 30 points in 33 games for you. How's he played?
Really good. He's, I'd say the first 10 games, you know, when you've been with an organization your whole career and changing systems pretty dramatically right in the middle of the year. And we were really hurt at the time up front, so I think he was getting put in different spots. We tried him at center and both wings, but once he got those first 8 to 10 games behind his belt, under his belt, he's been outstanding. He's really fast. He's an unbelievably good kid, as I'm sure everyone's heard. He was one of the four young men in Brandon who helped a distressed guy on the bridge there, and it was a bit of a national story where, you know, a lot of people would have driven by, and Jake is one of those guys that said, no, we gotta help this man, and that's just what he's like around the room. And he's got some power, I think, in his game. If he fills out, he's probably 170, 175 pounds at 6'2", so there's quite a bit of filling out to do there, but I think he's got the mechanics to become a really good pro, and he's got the speed and the hands to do it as well.
We're joined by Colin Priestner. He's president GM of the Saskatoon Blades. All right, you're going to help me out with the pronunciation here. Aiden Della Gordier, is that how you pronounce it?
Close. Della Gorgandier. It's been a tough one for announcers for 5 years, but Della is what everyone calls him. It's pretty fun to go to some road buildings that never see us if you're in the other conference, and you put a wager on what they're going to say when he gets a point. But Della Gorgandier is how you say it.
And he's had a good year. Is he a guy that's getting some NHL interest as a potential unsigned 20-year-old?
Definitely, yeah. I think he had 65 points in 65 games as a defenseman, and kind of had that pace last year, and we lost him 2 months before the playoffs started to a shoulder surgery. So, you know, we really missed him last year in the playoffs, and now that he's healthy, showing what he can do. He's a power play quarterback, very cerebral. He's been our captain for 2 years, and yeah, there's been, you know, 9 or 10 NHL teams that have been asking about him, and I think if he has a real good playoffs here, I think there's a great chance that he gets a contract. And there's not a lot of guys that can, you know, put that point of game pace up, and he's 6 feet tall, so he's not even undersized anymore. So really hopeful for him that he gets something here over the next couple months.
All right, Colin, let's get to the elephant in the room for you guys, Connor Bedard. I mean, I would suggest to you, I don't think I've ever seen a guy, he's mastered that stick, like the way he can change his release point, launch point on the shots, and the whip that he gets on it. And I mean, he's an offensive genius. You guys have, in a couple games, you've completely shut him. Now, one game he was -5 against you, but he's been great for your league, hasn't he?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, I was joking around with someone calling him a one-man COVID relief fund, because every time he comes to everybody's rink, you know, you sell out, and we don't like having generally speaking, the 15,000 seats isn't needed for a junior hockey building anywhere, really, especially in Saskatoon. And we would be fine with a 7,000 or 8,000 seat building. But these last few games, we sold out with 14,700 seats sold both games when he came. And it's just kind of a fervor that develops. I think it really started at the World Junior. We played them once before Christmas, and I think we had 500, but I think, you know, what he did at the World Junior kind of convinced everybody from whether it was Saskatoon or even from the outlying areas, like, trip out and watch him. And we lost two of our last three games of the year at home, and they were both, you know, every time he touches the puck, it's an interesting phenomenon. Like, you know, I've seen McDavid live a bunch of times, and it's a little bit similar if McDavid's on the road, but even more amplified because he's so much better than everybody else that he, you know, the crowd is silent when, like, he has the puck. Like, they kind of gasp, and it's kind of an eerie feeling when he comes over the blue line, because you sense that every person there is fixated on what he's doing, whereas anybody else who has the puck, I mean, it's a normal play. You kind of watch and you eat your hot dog and you watch the game, but it's like they're fixated on him, and it's really hard not to get sucked into that as the opposition. So we have shut him out twice, and he also had his first game back from the World Juniors. We played him, and he absolutely annihilated us. I think he had 5 or 6 points that night, and he was unstoppable. So we know he can take over a game, and, you know, you can be up 3-1 and outshoot him, and one shift later, it's 3-3. So you have to be aware of that, and you can only really hope to contain him, you know, as best we can.
I think is it not being broadcast? I don't know if it's over the air on TSN, but it's available, you know, via the web or whatever.
We haven't had anything from TSN about going, you know, with their national kind of launch yet. We kind of thought that might have been a possibility, right? But as of now, that's not going to be happening for the first couple games. You know, if we get to a game 5, 6, or 7, maybe that changes. But yeah, they can go on WHL Live and watch it, or if TSN Plus has it, great. Yeah, there's certainly a ton of interest. I think we're over 10,000 seats sold for tonight and for Sunday already. So, you know, with the walk up, we'll probably be in that 11 or 12,000 range, which is, great for our players to get the chance to again play in front of big crowds. And you know, it'll be, I think, a lot more. I think we're going to have to expect a more intense and you know, focused Bedard than we saw the last two games, just when, you know, the standings were already in place. There wasn't as much to play for. I think we got to expect world junior mode from him and not be too deterred if he, you know, does have a few shifts where he goes out and does something special.
All right, I got to ask you a couple questions about where the league's at right now. I mean, it's a completely different Western Hockey League than, you know, the 1980s WHL, where, you know, the Prince Albert Raiders were one of the tough, you know, don't tell the new Westminster Bruins of the 70s this, but, you know, it used to be real tough, hard-nosed hockey. There was an emphasis on skill. I know that fighting is basically going to be eliminated in Quebec. There were some political pressures at play. They took a significant cash handout from the Quebec government, so they were beholden to the government. It is a very different time in the WHL, Colin, isn't it, than it was 25 or 30 years ago?
For sure. I mean, my dad is a goalie in the WHL back in his young years, and he played for the Kamloops Chiefs, and I remember hearing stories growing up about just in warm-ups, the other team would line up at the red line and fire pucks at his head. He was a goalie, and that was the welcome to the rink those days. So, I mean, yeah, things have certainly changed. You see the big balls anymore, and, you know, when there is fights or one-off, I think more than maybe 5 majors this year as a team, I mean, we don't really believe in it. Our head coach was a big fighter in junior as a small guy that would kind of do anything for his team, Brendan Sonny, and you know, he doesn't believe in fighting at all. He doesn't want our guys to fight, and, you know, he knows what CTE is all about, and he knows what can happen with these fights, and, you know, being a former fighter, and he really doesn't like to see it as well. So we would be a team probably on the other end of the spectrum than the older school teams out there that you know, want to keep fighting the game. I mean, for my money, I mean, we have student athletes. These aren't professionals. They're teenagers. And other sports are very physical. Football, basketball, you got physical sports where the guys are in their faces all, you know, all game and all night, and they don't have to, you know, resort to any fist fights. So, different story a little bit in the NHL, I think, with being professional athletes and being paid. But for me, I don't see any need for it, but it's still a part of the game. So as long as it is, then we'll be a lower end fighting team in terms of the number, but I don't see any huge reason to have fighting in junior hockey. But I'm probably in the minority on that, I would say, out of the teams in our league.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Colin, best of luck coming up in the WHL playoffs. There's a lot of people that think that Connor Bedard wants to play for the World Hockey Championships for Canada. So I have a feeling you guys would like to expedite that and happy to get him out of the series in 4 or 5 games and on his way. So good luck, all right?
Thanks a lot, Bob. See you soon.
You bet. That's Colin Priestner. He's the president and general manager of the Saskatoon Blades. It is 1:49 at Edmonton. We'll wrap up Oilers Now with this day in Oilers history, and it involves one of the Oilers Hall of Famers. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Southern Fan Land says, Bob, I think I know how many Oilers fans feel about Connor McDavid's hit on Mikey last night. Karma's a... you know what? Yeah, I don't think everybody was that disappointed. I mean, you never want to see a guy get hurt. I didn't like what Anderson did to Leon Draisaitl in Game 6 last year. We'll head off to Oilers Now. The Stay in Oilers history for New West Travel. Again, you can fly a private charter to a 5-day golf getaway in Pinehurst, North Carolina in October. Details at newwesttravel.com. We're going to go back to List 8, 1985. Here's Brendan Escott.
Paul Coffey picks up a hat trick and 2 assists while Wayne Gretzky adds 5 points of his own. The Oilers dump the Blackhawks 7-3 in Chicago. Marc Messier and Marc Bergevin, who I saw last night up there in the rafters, they dropped gloves in the second period of that game.
Bergie was tough and was not a huge guy. He's a sharp dresser, eh? You ever notice that, Brendan? Like, he's
certainly, he's got it going on for sure. And he's buff too. Like, he's obviously still in the gym.
yeah, he's still in pretty good shape. All right, Reed Wilkins has Inside Sports tonight. What's he got shaking? Fluid show, or
it's looking like a fluid show. Yeah, you betcha.
All right, here's the deal. Tomorrow we've got the Edmonton Oilers and the Anaheim Ducks, the face-off show with Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Jack Michaels, Cam Moon, Brendan Escott, myself. Will begin at 6:30. I'll join Brendan Aaron Reed at 6:35 at Studio 99. Jack's got the call of tonight's game, or tomorrow night's game, 8 p.m. puck drop. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. Brendan Escott will have you on Monday with Oilers Now, as I'll be flying with the Edmonton Oilers Now to SoCal. Up next, a global news, weather, traffic update with Kevin Robertson, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then Chelsea on Ched with Chelsea Bird. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.